Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome back to episode 61 of Yes, Another Teen Movie. I'm Gemma O'Leary.
And I'm Heather Renton, and I've just turned 31.
Woo! Only 30 years to go before you're the same age as our pod, Heather.
Yes, indeed.
How does it feel to be officially over the hump of 30 and into the best decade of every woman's life?
Sorry, I didn't realise we were recording for Cosmo.
Yeah, I'm trying a new thing this week. I wanted to make it more like BBC Woman's Hour, you know?
Well, I kind of missed turning 30 because it was a pandemic, an evening clock or a curfew and a snowstorm.
Evening clock?
That's such a Dutch
We must get inside. It is the evening clock, no?
I always get ripped for direct translation.
Quickly, everyone!
A big bell comes out.
That is good. That is good. Evening clock.
Evening
I love that.
Evening clock. Yeah, it was a curfew, sorry, and a snowstorm and a pandemic. Still the pandemic, no snow, no evening clock this year. But now I have the COVID. So, yeah.
She really can't catch a break, this girl, on her birthday.
I can't win, can I?
No, so she can't.
I'm going to be like fucking 40 before I can throw a party. So that's sad, but I might postpone my party.
I just want to say that I also had COVID last month, but Heather said that I wasn't allowed to talk about it on the podcast because she said it's a COVID-free podcast. But I don't think it's fair that Heather gets to share with everyone that she had COVID and y'all are going to feel sorry
I'm
for her.
COVID right
and,
now.
Yeah, whatever. And you all are going to feel sorry for her and no one got to feel sorry for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I got COVID on my birthday.
Heather and I are at the moment, like, we share a birthday month, which is very hard for us. So we're going to be battling for the limelight throughout February.
You know what, Gemma? I've turned 31 and I kind of always hoped that I would turn into one of those people who's like, oh, my birthday, I don't really care. Because I care so much about my birthday. Like, it's ridiculous. I think it should be a national holiday. Like, I think I don't understand that people who are halfway through the day are like, oh, it's my birthday today. You're like, what? Like, what are you like? Are you a big birthday girl?
I'm, to be honest, not really. Like, no. It kind of stresses me out to plan stuff. Like, this year I am having a party.
Oh, when?
The 25th. 26th.
Oh, cool.
I'm just having like some people over and then we're going out to not really a club, more like a bar, but even just doing something as low-key as that stresses me out so much. Because I think it's partly because I have so many different friends, like friends that don't know each other, you know, and like when you're the facilitator, like the person that brings them all together, it's like, are people gonna get on, are people gonna have fun? Like, I'm not really like, I don't know, I would hate it if people didn't make any fuss over my birthday, but I don't want like a big fuss, you know. I'm not a queen like you.
I am a queen, but I get stressed as well. So this is a very toxic combination of just,
yeah.
And like every year, I want someone to throw me a surprise party, but Tone is like, Heather, you start planning your birthday in November, so there's no way of like throw. People would have to like cancel on you for 3 months in advance, and you'd just be really sad by the time I got to your birthday.
Yeah, or you'd guess.
No, I wouldn't be able to guess. I'd just be really upset with all my friends. So like, that's not funny.
Yeah, I don't know how people organize surprise parties. I really don't. Like, how you have to be sort of pretend to your friend that you don't care about them or that you don't want to do anything for their birthday in order for it to be a surprise. That stresses me out too much. I don't want anyone to be annoyed at me even for like 1 second.
Yeah, no, right? But yeah, if you ever get the chance to throw me a surprise, anything, Gemma, maybe make it a hen night or something. Something I would organize myself.
Oh, okay. I'll bear that in mind.
Get the penis straws all in hand. But yeah, so sorry for taking your COVID and birthday limelight, Gemma. So
that's okay, Heather. I'm used to it.
Let's talk about this movie, because that's what we're here for. This is our job.
Yes, our job is to come together on this lovely clement Wednesday evening over a Google Meet call and a beverage to tell the lovely listeners about the third film in the After trilogy, After We Fell.
Oh, also, its working title being Red Flag, the movie, or Relationship Problems, the movie.
What? How to tell if you're in a toxic relationship? A guide. Yeah, it's fucking wow, this film. This, and Heather, yep. Can I just say, like, up top before we get started, working on these films must be awful. It must be torture. It must be one of the worst experiences actors could ever go through. How do I know this? In every movie, they have different actors playing the same characters. This movie, there was like three more different actors.
I know.
And one character they just cut completely, I guess because he didn't want to come back.
This is, I wrote down, I was like, wait, is that a new actor for Landon?
And then, every single person is different. No more Selma Blair. Selma Blair had enough. Selma Blair cashed her two paychecks from the first movie, and I'll she was like, "Bitch, I'm out." Well. Yeah, I know. Like, goodbye, okay. Goodbye to him. I mean, he. It's okay. She doesn't really go home anymore. She's not talking to her mom, so that's okay. But goodbye to the Sprouse twin. Like, Trevor just got axed.
I know, but I wrote down at the end. But I was like, wait, where did Trevor go? But
yeah, me too. I also wrote down, where is Trevor?
But they also bring in new characters. Like, okay, so Vance, which is her boss, apparently he's English. I didn't pick up on that. The other movies, did you?
I'm pretty sure it was a different actor in the first movie.
I'm almost certain it was a different actor. Well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has a kid, I think. There's this little kid called Smith all of a sudden. Smith. And everyone's all about Smith. And I'm like, who's Smith? We've never heard about Smith.
He was in the second movie. They spent a day babysitting him.
Oh,
we
God.
Just didn't talk about it in the episode because it was so boring. It was just like a montage.
But like, these movies, it's not just characters that come and go. There's plot lines that come and go. Like, there's no fucking tomorrow.
Come and go like the wind.
You never know if they're gonna refer, that's the only thing that keeps it exciting is that you're like, oh, they've brought on her dad who's homeless and an alcoholic. Is he gonna come back after the first 10 minutes? Who knows? You know, it's just she's in a car crash. Did she need to go to like physical therapy or something? No, she doesn't. Okay, whatever. She's gonna move to Seattle with Trevor. Where's Trevor? We don't know.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down was that stuff just really just happens in these movies for no reason at all. It just happens.
They just honestly took her Wattpad and made it into a movie. There's no editing whatsoever. It's just like you said, like she would write.
Yeah,
it.
they were like, no notes.
It's great.
No notes.
Anna, you did a great job. We're gonna film straight away. We're gonna get Ralph Fiennes' cousin in here. It's gonna be good. And also, like, I keep mixing up the titles. I keep thinking this is After We Collided, but it's After We Fell.
I know. Somehow I feel like they fit more the other way around. But yeah, I know what you mean.
And all the titles are so, like, at least to all the boys,
so similar.
P.S. I Still Love You or P.S. I'm Still Into Boys. I forgot.
We need to make our after. We need to have a joke for after.
Yeah, Red Flag the movie.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is Red Flag the movie 3.
Yeah.
By the way, I just looked it up on Wikipedia and it is a different guy playing Vance. Every single character is different.
But is Vance in the first movie? No, he's in the second.
No, he's in the second one when she's. Yeah. But we need like an expose. We need like Dylan Sprouse or someone to like come out and be like, working on the after movies, my story. And like write like an open letter that's like signed by like Selma Blair and all the other people saying like, you know, this is like, maybe they just realized that it was career endingly bad.
But like also because Vance, I keep saying it like I'm Sophia Spexter, like Vance, dance floor, fans is a new actor. The dad is a new actor, but they're all just like generic white guys in their 50s. So it's really hard to keep track of what's happening.
It's really, they're easily replaceable. It's like they're very easily
Sandy Cohen, we would have remembered. So
for
the ages, I was like, is that the dad or is that Vance? Because they seem really close as well, which, you know, foresight, but strange. And Landon's a new actor as well.
Yeah.
Landon's mom, I think, is a new actress.
Yep. Tessa and Hardin are the only two constants in this movie. So it opens with a flashback of Heather's mum, not Selma Blair, throwing her dad out of the house when Heather was a kid for being an alcoholic.
Tessa.
Tessa, sorry.
God, imagine this is my life story. It's based on me.
Freudian slip. I don't know why, but I keep thinking her name is Heather.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I must see something of you in her, Heather. Must see all that lovely hair. Yeah, exactly.
She has got good hair, so I love that.
Terrible taste in men. Just kidding. Heather has a great taste in men. Tone's like the opposite of Harden. Tone is what Harden Scott wishes he was. He's actually cool.
Bless you, Gemma. Thank you. Carry on.
So she throws Tessa's dad out of the house for being an alcoholic, and Tessa's running after his car, being like, "No, Dad, come back, come back." And then it plunges you back to the present, where if you will remember, dear listener, where we left off in the last episode, it had just been revealed that a homeless guy that Harden was like extremely rude and vile to for no reason at the start of the last movie was actually Tessa's dad. What a cliffhanger. So he's down on his luck, he's an alcoholic, he's homeless. What happens next? They're right outside their apartment, so they invite him in. Harden is immediately so horrible to him.
Yeah,
like
insanely he's, so.
Yeah, like it would be absolutely nuts to treat like your girlfriend's dad that you've just met like that. Like he offers him money and he's like, "Is this what you want? Will you leave us alone?" And she's just kind of standing in the background like, It's so bad.
It's very strange how you already scooped, gave us the scoop that he offers the dad money, so I knew that was happening. Yeah, he's like, give the girl a break. Like, her dad shows up after 12 years.
He doesn't even consult with her to find out what she wants. He just, like, takes over and is like, Leave us alone. Like, what if she doesn't want him to leave them alone? It's her dad. Like, she hasn't seen him in 12 years. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, and then what happens is that the dad and Harden go to a bar together and get fucked up. And, like, Harden's, like, showing pictures of Tessa looking hot to her dad.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's a picture weird, right? Where she looks really hot. Yeah. And her dad's like, my daughter.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, here's a photo of Tessa working in a children's hospital. It's like, look at my cracking hot girlfriend.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like he's doing that as well, being like, yeah, look at her. Yeah.
Yeah, look at the chaps on that one. And her dad's hot tits. And then some guy actually wants to get some. And then they just beat him up for that reason. Also, like, what this movie does is, like, it's, like, 11 in the morning 1 second, and the next scene it's, like, dark outside.
Yeah. They've apparently been drinking all day. It's so weird because Harden is, like, so on him. He's like, you're an alcoholic. I don't want you back in her life. And it's like, you are also a fucking alcoholic. Like, you, like, admitted that in the last two movies. He has no sympathy for this guy. So they beat up a guy, and then the bartender calls her to come and get them, and she's really angry, obviously. And that's kind of just it.
That's it.
Like, I think that might have been the point where I said things really just happen in this movie.
It's not
a thing.
The dad just leaves, I think. What happens to the dad? We hear
back. Oh my god, it's so weird. She's just planning her move to Seattle.
Oh yeah.
And she's just like she doesn't, there's not one conversation where she's like, what is my dad gonna do now? Or like, it's like they don't address the fact that he's homeless. Again, that's just used as a plot device. When they're leaving, he's like, "Thanks for giving me somewhere to stay, sweetie. I'll stay in touch." And she's just like, "Okay, bye-bye." It's like, it's so dumb. Like, she doesn't care at all. She just cares about whether Harden's going to come with her to Seattle. Did that event even make an impact on you? The fact that you saw your dad for the first time
also
after 12
homeless.
Years and he's homeless?
Yeah, he's drunk.
Yeah, like, would she not want to help him more? Like, she doesn't seem to have any emotions about it. She's just like, oh, I guess this guy's here now.
I know, I didn't even think about that, because I watched it with my friend, and she was like, are you seriously making me watch this? So I was a bit distracted by that.
Oh, that's bad. Also the third one as well, when she's missed so much.
Yeah, I texted her like, oh, do you want to come over and watch this movie? Because I have to watch it for the pod. And she came over, and she's like, oh, you weren't joking. like, oh,
sorry to Heather's friend, whoever you are.
So wild. And also her move to Seattle is so like, I'm moving to Seattle. She's back in college though. You must be happy. She's back in school.
I was delighted. They finally addressed the school thing very briefly. There's like one shot of them on outside campus, like very, very brief. Where Harden's like, you have to, like, between work and school, you won't have time for me. Because apparently she's, like, doing work study. Like, if she moves to Seattle, like, Vance is going to pay for her transfer, like, to a different university. Mm. And, yeah, to University of Seattle. And she's going to have a job. I don't really know if that's even really, like, a thing in America. American students seem pretty coddled, so I feel like it's not. But anyway, but the whole thing is that, like, she wants to move there. Harden, for her job, Harden wanted them to move to London together after graduation, and they just get in a million fights about it, and really it just goes on and on.
They get into so many fights in the first half hour or hour of the movie, and then they just have sex and make up. This happens, and it's just, I'd say it ramps up in the last like 20 minutes of the movie, and I was a bit like, not hooked again, but a bit like, this is comedy, like, but the first hour is just like them arguing.
It's exhausting. Yeah, like, this is, fighting is so boring. It's not like fun and tumultuous and like sexy the way that Anna Todd wants it to be. She's very invested in the idea of like, a real relationship is passionate, which means that you fight.
No.
But fighting is actually just fucking boring and shit.
And, like, it's not like Marriage Story when you're like, oh, that was a good scene. And, like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the real, real, real emotion. Yeah, yeah.
Now it's just Harden's the arsehole. She does nothing wrong and he's just horrible. So it's also very frustrating as a viewer that you're like, this girl shouldn't
so
be
so frustrating.
Has she not got any friends who are like, do you really want to be
exactly
with this guy?
This is what really upset me about the film, is because their relationship, like, is actually like, the other characters, like, know that their relationship is like abusive.
Sucks.
Like, the film itself codes their relationship as abusive, but like still celebrates it. It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
When we get to the bit later with the waiter, that was like the waiter says something to her that was like what a character would say if they were trying to help someone escape like a toxic relationship. Anyway, we'll get to that part.
But yeah, yeah.
So she really wants him to move to Seattle with her. He says no. And he's like, I've got nothing there. And she says, you'll have me.
Also,
and then
not
he
healthy.
Says, the only, yeah, not healthy. He actually, at this point,
yeah,
he
right.
says, the only sensible thing that either of them have ever said in these three movies, he says, that's not enough. Yes,
yeah.
That is true.
That is so true.
You need to have more in your life than the person that you're dating or in a relationship with. That you can't live like a rich, full life with all of your attention just focused on this one person. And I was like, oh wow, Harden had said something accidentally woke for like 1 second. So, and then he actually lets her go and she moves to Seattle without him.
But first, Gemma, they go on this really confusing trip. They go on a trip with Landon, Harden's dad, who's a different actor.
Oh,
again.
That comes first. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They go on
yeah.
a road trip with Landon, Landon's mom. I think they're meant to be driving to Seattle. I was very confused. And they end up in a cabin in the woods. And it's also a bit 50 Shades of Grey-ish in the sense that they do lots of rich people stuff and has a bit kissing
yeah.
booth vibes that they're just showing wealth.
Gratuitous shots of like wealthy stuff.
Yes.
I know what you mean. Like when they were on the speedboat.
Yeah, on the speedboat,
like, okay.
for no reason. Like,
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
was,
yeah.
That was really big in this part. Like just like aspirational
yeah.
living, not just their relationship, which is meant to be aspirational, but fine. God, no. But also,
should not be to any healthy person. That's really stressful.
But that's 50 Shades of Grey all over. Like, we're all wearing a helicopter and we're getting zoomed off to Italy to try real Basil, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But it also controls my life, but...
But when you're writing fanfic, like, the whole point, I guess, is to, like, let your imagination run wild. Like, you don't have to... It doesn't really have to make sense, so you don't really have to put limitations on it. Like, that's why it's different to writing, like, an actual book.
Yeah.
So obviously when she was writing it, she's just like, you know, she was like a stay-at-home mom, like an army wife. She didn't have all these like luxuries and like you know, access to like wealth and all that. She was just making up in her head, like, if I was rich, I would like go on a speedboat and like go and like my house would look like this, and it would have all of like, I would work at a publishing firm. And it's just it's a little bit sad, I think, because it's sweet, but it's also kind of like just a bit sad, because it's just like this like kind of craving for like this like rich person life, which actually just seems really hollow.
Do you think the husband's jealous because maybe he's never read the book or seen the movies? But surely if you're the husband, you're like, wait, this is what you want?
Yeah, I know. To be honest, I was actually surprised to read that they're still together. I know that's a really bad thing to say, but I felt like after she, like, because she's obviously probably a millionaire now.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that, like, you know, at this point, she would be like, now it's time for me to find my heart in Scott.
Yeah, she's messaging, like, Harry Styles being like...
Yeah, now that she's got the, like, the money. But I guess, you know, love is stronger than money, guys.
Anyway, so... they're going on a confusing trip. Again, the dad is cast, again, for my, like, in my eyes, a different actor altogether. Who knows?
It could be, it could not be. We don't know. One thing we know for sure is that it's not Sandy Cohen.
It's not Sandy Cohen. We miss you, Sandy. Oh, you're on the speedboat. Heart is wearing an Infinity scarf, so it seems. Or, like, sponsored by All Saints, you know, the shop. Because he always wears, black, like, ragged clothes. Really ugly. And then they're on the speedboat, and Landon's like, you've been gushing about Seattle since I met you. Where?
There's also a point where she says, my dream since I was a kid has been to live in Seattle. It's like, wait, what?
We've never heard you about
can't
this.
Just, we have never heard this. You can't just drop also, that in like, the third movie.
You know,
also, whose dream is that since they were a kid?
Since they listened to Nirvana, like,
yeah.
They just love Dave Grohl.
She really loves coffee and Dave Grohl.
But yeah, and also she's known Landon for like a year at this point, maybe max or less.
Yeah.
And also, it's a different actor altogether, so.
Yeah, it's like, who the fuck are you? I like the old Landon better.
I miss
really like this
Landon.
Guy.
I miss all the old actors.
Yeah, this guy was such a bad actor, by the way. Like, probably what the worst in it.
Such comedy. But yeah, so that's funny that they're like, oh, you've been exposing through.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this clumsily shoehorned exposition.
They go for dinner. Harden sees a girl he knows and he's chatting to her table. Tessa gets jealous of that, which is also a bit unhealthy.
I know, he was literally started talking to someone he knew. It just happened to be a girl, and she's just like instantly like, oh, I guess he's flirting with her. And the thing is, she kind of has reason to think maybe that he would be, but it's like, then you shouldn't still be in that relationship, probably, if like you're gonna be, if every time he talks to another girl you're gonna see it as a threat.
But he never cheated on her. He just used
That's
her
true.
As a. He
That's
just
true.
Used her as a. He, she was a bet. He never like did anything with anyone else.
That's true. He didn't cheat on her. It's. I guess I just have that idea because it's like she's. It's so like plate. Like there's so many misunderstandings. About
I know they
cheating,
don't communicate. And they even address themselves in this movie. But anyway, very frustrating.
Yeah.
Also, they're in their most fancy restaurant. This is an observation from my friend Anna, shout out. And then the guy is like, the waiter's like really friendly, but not flirty, just a friendly waiter. Like you'd get a
yeah,
good
yeah,
tip.
Yeah. They sit down, and the instant they've sat down, the waiter comes over and he's like, so you know what you're having?
And he's like, oh, would you like pasta? And well, no, she's like, oh, would you like salmon on like on rock or whatever, on crystal. She's like, no, that's a bit too fancy. And he's like, oh, maybe a pasta? We've got a lovely one with octopus. She's like, oh, no, I don't like octopus. Like, why are you out for dinner in a fancy fish place?
It's so cringe. It's really cringe. Yeah,
she's
yeah.
She's like, I like my hamburgers without ketchup, otherwise I'm going to send them back for the ketchup.
Oh, excuse me, I asked for no ketchup. Thank you.
So she's like completely butchering this or like making it really hard for this nice waiter. Harden comes over, sees the waiter talking to her in a friendly way, and like gives him a shove. He's so jealous.
Bumps in a waiter, a guy whose literal job it is to
flirty.
Be nice to the people at the table and help them to order their food. But Harden sees that and he's like, nobody's nice to my girlfriend on my watch.
And he's like really like, he's talking down at this waiter. He's like, you can come back, mate. Or like,
Yeah.
I'd be mortified if I was like his dad or anyone else at that table.
Me too. And no one even says anything to him. It's like, he's so... This is what I was trying to say in the last film. Like, who wants a boyfriend who is not nice to anyone except them? And even then, rarely. Like, homeless people, waiters, like, anyone that he can give a hard fucking time, he does. Like, he's not... He doesn't have any, like... He's just mean to people, like, as he perceives, like, below him with, like, no... Like, how are we meant to root for this? How are we meant to root for this guy?
Yeah, it's bizarre. And then they have sex in the hot tub. He puts on a condom in the water, which I thought was like, hmm.
They really make a show of him putting on that condom every time.
I love it. Shout out to the condom. And the morning after pill gets a shout out of this movie.
The condom is the star of this
show. Honestly, that's the only
film.
That's the only thing that this movie does right is the condom.
I guess. I feel like they would have been... I feel like she would have been on the pill by this point in their relationship. But, you know, each to their own.
They even mentioned the pill. She gets the pill later on in the movie.
I know, which is also like 50 Shades of Grey makes such... Do you remember that book made such a big deal about her getting the pill?
No, I
and
don't
he would like he would like tell her what time to take it and stuff as
what?
Like a form of control.
No.
Yeah, that sticks out in my mind very vividly. I don't think it's in the
Did
movie
read the books?
Probably because they were like, oh, this stuff's too weird. Just the first one. Yeah, I want to see what all the fuss
is
about.
Yeah, the first one as well. Then there's a whole palaver that they have an argument about. I don't know fucking what, Seattle or jealousy.
He says to her, Tessa, I'm going to ask you something and I want you to be honest with me. And it's like a nice moment after they've just had sex. So she's like, yeah, okay, Harden. And he's like, did you ever have feelings for Trevor? That was the guy that she worked with in the last movie. And she's like, there was a moment. And he instantly, as soon as she says that, like gets up, shoves her away from him and like storms off. It's really funny. He doesn't even let her finish
like,
her
why
sentence.
Why would you
so
ask someone like, a question like that if you're not going to listen to the answer?
Exactly. Like, especially because her answer, he obviously knew what the answer was going to be and that it was just going to be like, you know, yeah, I did, like, I liked him, but, like, nothing happened or whatever. But his reaction is as if she said, like, yeah, I'm leaving you for
I know.
Him.
Or, like, I've kissed him or whatever. But don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
You gotta be prepared to handle
yeah, or,
the
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, exactly. So then there's a whole thing that he's gone again. Then she texts the waiter. She just shows up to the restaurant. Why is she in the restaurant with the waiter?
She goes back to the restaurant in her pajamas for some reason to get a drink. And he's just like, I think it's actually a hotel. And he's like, so the bar doesn't close. And he's like clocking off his shift. And he's like, oh, me and a couple of like the other hospies, like hospitality workers or whatever, are like having little afters in the bar if you want to join us. So she goes there and they're drinking and stuff. And this is the moment that I was talking about earlier where she does something. I can't remember what it is. And she's like, oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorry, sorry. And she like really over apologizes. And he's like, you don't have to keep apologizing. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, sorry. That's just something that I do. And he looks at her and says, I think I can guess why you do that. As in saying like you're in an abusive relationship and like that's why... You're like falling over yourself to apologize because you don't want me to get angry with you like he does. And it's like, how is the movie like getting that? Like, and like addressing that and that like acknowledging that that is what she is in, but it's still meant to be this beautiful love story. Like, you can't have both, I don't think. Not in this type of movie. Obviously, life is very complicated, but these movies are so like cut and dried, like just emotional fodder for teens that you really have to send like one message or another. You know what I mean? These movies aren't clever or complex enough to accommodate those two narratives. So please don't have him be like, yeah, your boyfriend's literally abusing you, and then her go back to him, because that is just sending the worst message.
It does. And also then Harden shows up to the bar with the girl who was saying hi earlier. Imagine if you're someone in their surrounding witnessing their interactions, you'd be so uneasy. You know, when your friends have a bit of a little fight with their boyfriend, even that's a bit awkward. I mean, a couple just having at each other. This is like that times 100 all the fucking time. It must be so uncomfortable for everyone else.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Like, how does she... the thing, her personality, like, is meant to be also kind of, like, shy and accommodating. How could she even, like, put up with him to everyone else? Like, I feel like if that was me, I, like, you get worn down by your friends. You know, like, everyone's always telling her to break up with him or that he's not good for her. Or, like, even, like, is she not embarrassed? Yeah. Like, to be even in front of... The way that he treats her, like, even in front of his parents and stuff, like, in the last movie, it's like, this is so... It's so hard to watch. Because
the,
like,
way he comes in and she's talking to the waiter, which he already was weirdly jealous of, he's just so degrading, is that the word? He's like, right, mate, make me a drink. He's like, yeah, oh, actually, my shift. He's like...
Yeah, it's horrible because it sends the message that, like... You can be as, like, you're the person you're with can be as horrible as they want to everyone around them, but as long as they still love you at the end of the day, it's okay. Like, you can fix them. It's like, no, don't go out with anyone who is horrible to homeless people, service people.
And also,
like,
gets
you.
Jealous if you're anyone? Just talking to another person of the opposite sex. That's not you. Very, it's fairly controlling.
Exactly, like instantly. Like, this guy is just a waiter. Anyway, that's very difficult. I know, people think that they want to have, like, that jealousy, you know, to be able to make someone jealous because it's, like, you know, power or whatever, but it's actually just really annoying when guys are jealous. So, yeah, so after that, then they go
you forget that the, like, fucking waiter writes down his number as if it's 1999 on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Who does that nowadays?
Yeah, so he writes down his number and gives it to Tessa, probably before Harden showed up or whatever. And then they go back home. To the cabin. I think they make up and have sex. I honestly couldn't tell you. They have sex so many times. It's like, whatever. And then the next morning, when he's packing, he finds the number amongst her things and goes crazy again. This is so repetitive, this movie. It's like, this only 10 minutes ago they were fighting.
About
and now
the
they're
same
fighting
thing.
Again.
Seattle or him being jealous.
About, yeah. Like, then next thing is her driving away to Seattle, like, crying in her car. She moves in with Vance and
Kimberly.
I can't remember
who is
Kimberly. Heather,
I know.
Yes, I was just gonna ask you, but is she also a new actress? Because I feel like we didn't notice this in the last movie.
But she's definitely the mean girl from Aquamarine.
Oh, yeah. Kimble. Sorry, I. Yeah, I know her as the journalist girl from John Tucker
Must Die. Oh, she's in that as well.
So I was, yeah. I forgot that she was also in Aquamarine.
Staple.
She's a teen movie queen. Yeah, she's my teen movie counterpart. Remember when we did the what teen movie character would you be? I chose her. Not in this movie. She gets quite a depressing hand in this movie. Yeah. So she reveals that she's pregnant when they move to Seattle. That's like,
why the fuck is Tessa moving in with her boss and his girlfriend and this random kid?
I don't know. Because they keep saying, like, oh, it's temporary while she looks for a place. But that bitch isn't looking for
a
place. She's just... Yeah, she's not looking for a place. I mean, I'm sure she will, like, when Harden properly moves there, I'm sure they'll end up living in some luxury, like, high-rise apartment. But for the moment, she's living on, like, a compound with her boss,
how
his girlfriend,
to live with
his son.
Boss, can you imagine?
I know, it's pretty bizarre. But,
and
like, they, yeah, and but they just, it's weird because, like, you never see her and Vance, like, spending any time together, but it's like, they just adopt her into
their family.
Because
they're like, Tessa, dinner's ready.
It's like,
it's
really
it's
weird.
It's all like that. It's like, you don't, no.
And then in the next scene, they're, like, drinking wine together. It's like, why, this girl was just, like, an intern at this company. Like, why are they, like, oh, yes, like, she's part
it's
of, kind so
of
much part
creepily
of our lives.
Protective,
anyway.
The way Kimberly is around her. It's like an older sister slash mom.
Yeah, but maybe she just feels sorry for her because she knows that her mom is, like, the worst mom ever. They still don't make up, by the way. This whole movie, they goes by without them talking. And she doesn't care. This is the thing. Like, she never seems sad about, like, all this stuff. She's just like, yeah, I don't speak to my mom anymore. My dad lives on the street.
My
he's an alcoholic. But what I really care about is, like, whether my boyfriend still likes me. It's like, girl, get a grip. Like, there's other serious stuff in your life. But she only cares about him. So she's in Seattle living with Vance and Kimberly. But she, I think, oh yeah, he finds her journal. He's always snooping through her stuff, isn't he? and he reads like her journal from the first year of college, where she describes like the pain that she's been in, and he's like, oh my god, like it's like not good at all. He's like, this has touched me so much. And the, I think then he calls her.
No, right? She just randomly calls him. And then he's in the gym. Oh, and she again gets jealous because a woman's voice is like, come over here, Harden. And she's like, oh. She hangs up. He's like, no, Tess, I've started boxing. No worries. He has a complete change of character in her last, like, half of the movie.
So true.
He's so nice. And, like, yeah. I was, like, on board with Harden for some reason all of a sudden. I was like, oh, I actually like Harden. He's really, like, emotional.
He suddenly changes and acts vulnerable. Like he's, like, been through, like, years of therapy, but like she just left for like 2 weeks.
Did him good, didn't it?
Yeah.
So he's like, and then he goes to visit Bryce, visits her. They have sex again, or maybe they don't. Who cares? And then he's like, I'll write you a journal. She's a really good writer, Tess, and I'm so sorry what I put you through. So the first time he's apologizing. So #growth. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he's like you said, he's kind of having a change of personality transplant. But yeah, he apologizes to her for the first time, which is a good start.
He's been having dreams that she's having sex with the waiter, and that puts him off having actual sex with her. That's a whole plot. Then they have sex in the rich Vance's
in the home gym. In her boss's
but then they don't
gym.
They don't make a big deal out of the condom. And I was like, oh, are we just gonna know that it's a condom?
They're not doing that anymore.
But then the next morning, they have an actual real chat of like, oh. Just talking about contraception is something that you never see. So that's why that's the only point it's getting is that they're actually having a chat and they're like, oh, we need to get a morning after pill, or maybe I should just get on the pill anyway. Like, that's a chat you have with your boyfriend. Like, should I get on the pill? Yes or no? And he's like, oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. Like, not to have used condoms. I was like, wow, look at that. A real conversation.
Like, I know. This is like the only real conversation they have in like the whole movie. Yeah. This is the prime example of just the random shit that happens in these movies. She goes to the gynecologist. For some reason, she has to get like a fucking full on examination to get the morning after pill. She's standing there like naked in a hospital gown, like just to get the morning
she's just
after
getting
pill.
The pill.
I don't know if it's actually like that
maybe
in America.
It is, who knows?
Oh, okay. but they've obviously run like a full gynecological exam,
smear
on
tests
her,
and everything,
just in order to get whatever. Yeah. And they're like, there's a problem with your cervix, Tessa. You may never conceive. And that's it. They don't go back or talk about that for the rest
my
of the
last
movie. The doctor just tells her that she is probably infertile, and it's like, next scene.
I wrote my last note in the whole of after the movie. I was like, wait, are we never going to hear about the cervical issues again? Nope, guess we're not.
I guess maybe in the next movie, maybe they'll start talking about having kids in the next movie at like 19. But like, it just happens and then it's like, boom, it's gone. It's gone. Just more. This film just loves to ramp up the trauma. It's like every issue that they can. It's like alcoholism, rape, cervical cancer, but sorry, not cervical cancer, like infertility, like it just throws out the like car crash, exactly, yeah, abusive parents, yeah. It's like they just want to tick the boxes of like what are all the things that could happen to two people to make them like quote unquote broken and in need of like finding love. It's very depressing. It's very cynical.
Yeah. It's also stupid that it's not actually used to showcase real hurt, real grief, real whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another, like, weird checkbox.
Yeah, and because, like, characters and plot points disappear like fucking snow for the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
And actors keep changing. It's very hard to keep track. And locations keep changing. Like, why were they in the cabin in the first place with Landon? And then suddenly they're not there. It's just very... And it's... Yeah, because at one point as well, Harden has a chat with the school's the rector, or like the director of the school or the college, wherever he's at.
That's his dad.
Oh, see, who, like, so hard to keep track.
Did you not understand that from the way they talk to each other? Like,
oh, Vance.
Why would you just say to your teacher, like, who's that? Like, a pic when he has the picture on his desk and he's like, that's me and Vance for 10 years
with
ago.
Your mom.
And he also says, and your mother.
Yeah. Well, give me a fucking break. All these, like, white dudes in their 50s, they've all cast the same actor.
So this is important, guys. Like, Harden's parents and Vance were like best friends at college. Apparently. I think like Oxford or Cambridge.
Because Vance
or something.
Suddenly, like, I was like, wait, is he Australian? I think he's meant to be English, but I was like confused.
It's a bad accent. It's dodgy. It's really quite dodgy.
It's hard to
tell
because also you haven't heard Vance speak before. Also, it was a different actor. So you're like, oh, he's Australian, I guess, or maybe American.
Yeah, I think they just chose to make him English in this film. Basically, they didn't think of doing that
before.
So
he's suddenly English. Suddenly, he's. Also, it was very strange when Harden's visiting Tessa in, like, Vance is, like, cooking up some steaks, although it seems like it's, like, 10 p.m. out. Kimberly and, what's-her-face, Tessa having a nice glass of vino. And then Kimberly's all, like, relationships. They're difficult. Again, like, someone acknowledging that Tessa's an abusive relationship and not saying, like, girl, get out. Everyone's, like, holding a hand over Harden's head.
The stuff that Kimberly says in this movie is, like, the most generic. Like, it's so funny who wrote her lines. She's like a robot. She's like, things will get easier. You'll find a place and you'll be happy. Relationships, they're hard. It's like, she's so robotic. It's so weird.
Also, again, someone's picking up on the fact that things aren't going that swell between Harden and Tessa. Surely you would say, like, here, girl, are you happy?
Exactly. Why, if Kimberly and Vance care about her so much, like, as if she's, like, their adopted daughter. Yeah, exactly. Like, why don't they, like, step in and say, why are you still dating this guy who's obviously bad for you? But they're obsessed with Harden.
Yeah.
And he's really nice to them, to be fair.
So what happens next? Oh, Harden's mom's getting married, we find out. To the wanker Mike from next door.
Oh, he's a bit of a wanker.
So then there's a whole palaver about, like, boring scenes that we shouldn't really talk about. Tessa, him not telling Tessa because he doesn't want to take her home. He's like, I want to take her to London, but I don't want to take her to my hometown. Like, where are you from? Grimsby? Like...
Oh my god, this part, fuck me. He's like, yeah, it's a depressing house in a depressing place. And then he eventually does decide to take her. It hits London and she lives in one of those, like, grey three-story townhouses on, like, a beautiful street. It's like, where exactly is your hometown that you were so embarrassed to show? Like, I really wanted, because I knew it wasn't going to be some, like, dump, because we've already seen the inside of her house in the other movie. That was so nice. Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny, like, when they get to London. It's all, like, when American movies do London, you know? There's, like, a red bus in the background of every shot. There's a Union Jack off every building. Like, it's so, like, oh, yo, London! And there's a part where he's walking through Soho, like, central London, where you would very rarely even run into anyone. You know, and there's a whole group of
his friends, I guess,
outside a pub being like, Harden, Harden!
And he's like, oh, sorry, mate, no, next time.
It's so unrealistic. Like, groups of youths don't have, like, a local in Soho.
Also,
you know?
But I thought we're not meant to be in London because he's not from London, apparently. And we keep getting aerial shots of London.
Well, I mean, his local is in Soho, so how much more London can you get? Like, where was this neighbourhood that he didn't want to show her? Like, Bloomsbury?
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so hard living in W1. It's so depressing.
This is going over my head, my Dutch head, but I believe your word, Gemma. Yeah, it's funny, it's like, just make him from London then. He doesn't need to be rough. Like,
yeah. Well, he does if you're going to give all this context of how, like, shit the house is and how depressing a place it is where he's from. Then maybe add that as a bit of backstory. Yeah. But because the film is so obsessed with pretty beautiful things, like, it can't help itself. It's like, no, we're going to show this really, like, idealized, like, Paddington Bear version of London.
Man.
Like, it's so
weird.
Anna
Todd has clearly never watched a Ken Loach film, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, she could have drawn a lot of inspiration exactly. from that. Like, that's what, to be honest, that's what I was expecting in the first movie when he was like, he left my mum in such a dump in London. And then it's like this three-story house. So then they go to London. Do we really need to say anything else in between? I don't think we do.
No. Well, the mum is like, it's funny how strangely close people, like the mum is like, oh, Tess, I'm so happy you're here. Could you come to the bridal shop tomorrow? Also unnecessary scene. It's like, and why would you ask that of your daughter-in-law?
It's just like everyone's in, it's just to show how much everyone loves Tessa, I guess. Sure. Like, she's so likable to everyone, even though she's like the most boring, dead chat, like just doormat girl. So they go to London. They have fun, I guess. Vance is there because he's friends.
So
with
we find
the
mom out in like the 10 minutes
from university. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. More like unnecessary exposition. When Hardin's in his dad's office, he's like, we were best friends at university, you know? It's like, okay, as soon as a character says something like that, it's like, this is going to become important in the next 15 minutes of the movie. So then they're having fun. They're having a great time. Then it's the evening of the mom's wedding, and this is when the big twist happens. Hardin comes home.
No, Hardin's in bed, and he's like, he walks down to turn like the heating down or something.
Comes downstairs, and his mum and Vance are having sex in the kitchen.
But also, his mum is staying in Mike's house, but she decides to bang Vance in the kitchen, not in a bedroom or not in a secret place. She's in the fucking kitchen of where Hardin and Tessa are staying. They're not expecting anyone there.
The common area.
In the common area.
Exactly.
Bang. Yeah. Like, it's so wild. And also, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess they didn't have anywhere else to go because Vance was with Kimberly, so she was probably waiting in the hotel for him. So they're having sex, and Hardin, like, flips out, says one of the funniest lines of the movie, which I'm going to put here if I can find it. He says, like, you were getting fucked on the counter like a slag. It's so... He goes so roadman. Like, he goes, like, he goes to the extreme of, like, he's trying to be on, like, EastEnders or something. It's so
Shut
cringe.
Up, you slag.
It's properly cringe. Yeah. Exactly. It's so cringe. Tessa was probably like, what does that mean? He's obviously fuming.
He punches Vance. Like, they have a big old punch out.
Punches Vance.
Tessa comes down.
Of course she tries to get between them and be like, no, Hardin, don't. But like, of course he can't be restrained. So that happens. Then they all go to bed and have to go to the mum's wedding the next morning, which obviously isn't like a very good
Okay,
occasion.
But listen to this, Gemma. The own like because Hardin has suddenly had a character change, he's like breaks down and like he's on his knees holding like Tessa's belly and like crying into it, being like, it's not gonna be okay. I felt for him. That's like you would that's the first time showing some sort of emotional depth that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, part of the movie where you could actually feel like his anger was warranted, kind of, you know? Like, he was, like, really upset because, like, Vance has been kind of, like... Kind of like a father figure to him. She's his mum, obviously. And, like, they're kind of, like, you know, fucking up, like, what he knows to be true. And, it's a huge bombshell for him to know that they're having sex. And also his mum's meant to be marrying this new guy and Vance is with Kimberly and he's involved in both of their lives and both of their supposedly happy relationships. So it is like a big deal. It is one of the rare occasions his anger is actually warranted.
It's like almost like a soap.
It really was, especially with the you slag bit. Yeah, they really took us into the gutter.
Danny Dyer, that you. But
the biggest twist is yet to
hold
come.
Hold on to your butts, listeners. But no one's seen this movie, so everyone's like, stop listening after the first one. Well, also, I thought was really strange is that they go to the wedding. Like, would you go to the wedding? I don't know if I would.
Yeah, I think you'd have to. Like, it would be so... She's his mom. Like, if he didn't go, the guy she was marrying would be, you know, he'd have questions and stuff. And I don't know. I think I definitely would.
So they're all
would,
sat there at this wedding. Yeah, Kimberly is looking extremely sad. So you're like, well, Kimberly knows. Why the fuck she would knows. Kimberly go?
Yeah, that's true. Like, she doesn't really have as much skin in the game. Like,
she doesn't need to be there.
Like, I would definitely.
If that was me,
I'd be on the plane back to Seattle. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She definitely doesn't have to be there, but she puts up a good front.
So after the wedding, Vance is all like, I need to talk to you, Harden. So they go off to a bar in a hotel. Kimberly sits down on a bench like she's fucking the one from Mary Poppins feeding the birds.
Yeah, they're by the way, like, they're getting married in like a registry office again in like in Soho. Like, it's there's nothing about his mom's life that looks like low budget.
Is it why do you think they went for such recognizable places in Soho?
Because Americans just love like seeing like iconic London, I guess.
But
you know?
The whole but it doesn't even look like they're not showing like the Buckingham Palace or a Big Ben or whatever.
I guess, yeah, but I guess they just wanted it to look glitzy.
Just looks English to me. It doesn't even look like.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. They like they don't want it to look shit English. They want it to look like what Americans think of when they think of London, which is like what they've seen in other movies.
Do you know what I always get? Me going back to Britain, which obviously I'm part Scottish, which is not the same as English, but I mean like something that's very British, which I always feel like, oh, I'm home. The yellow lines next to the pavement that says you can't park.
Oh, really? I didn't even realise that
that's
was
a very
like
British
a
thing.
British...
And I'm always like, oh, I'm in Britain. Like, oh, yeah. I can go to Greg's and get a cheese bake or whatever.
But I can't park here.
I'm on my Dutch bike being like, oh, I wanna... There's no evil o'clock tonight?
Excuse me, constable, what time is the evening clock?
I don't know why we've decided this is like the Dutch voice. You always used to do this in Berlin,
I know.
Right? Be like,
I know, I'm giving the... It's more of like a
German yeah.
slash Swedish voice, but I'm giving...
You're not the only one.
It's funny. No offense to any German or Swedish
listeners. We don't think we have German listeners. They're like, these girls are not very funny. So Kimberly sits down next to Tessa and Kimberly's like really sad. She's like, yeah, what can I do? You know, I love him. She's not angry enough for this guy. These men get away with a
no.
lot. Like, and then she's like,
yeah, but I guess she is just pregnant with his child as well, though. It's like very, it's a complicated situation,
true,
you know.
True. So at the same time, cut scene, other scene, is Harden talking to Vance in this fancy hotel bar. And then Vance, basically, I'm your father.
I am your father.
Yeah, so fucking weird plot twist. And Kimberly says the same to Dessa.
Yeah, weird how she just tells her. But maybe she knew that Vance was going to tell him.
Also, like, give
but
Kimberly
like,
a
otherwise
break.
It seems weird that she would just give
but
it away.
Who cares,
but yeah.
Kimberly? Like, poor Kimberly, she tell the world to fuck off.
So I guess in that sense, though, that kind of, like, with them knowing that all the time, that actually kind of makes more sense why they're so
yes.
protective of Tessa and treat her like an adopted... Because it's actually their... daughter-in-law potentially
yeah.
like it's their son's girlfriend rather than just a random employee.
Well, not Kimberly's Kimberly's like
no well no obviously not but like she what she's like you know when you like she's obviously take she like Smith the little boy she's like his mom practically so she probably sees herself as like Harden's mom
yeah.
as well
so and then the movie ends quite nicely of them like running through the streets of Soho, I'm assuming.
To hug each other.
And then they see each other and Harden's obviously really upset. I don't know. See, like when your boyfriend's upset, you do want to cuddle him in the middle of the street of Soho. So it ends with them hugging and that's actually quite a nice ending. And it zooms up as like to be continued. And I was like, God, no.
I've got to say the ending did make me want to see the next movie. Like, and I think that didn't really happen for the other two. Actually, no,
yeah,
the last one was
dad,
quite cliffhanger as well.
Minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you
yeah,
know what?
Fucking hell. We,
this movie...
The dad does come back, but we're not going to talk about it. We've been talking for too long already.
But the movie's only like an hour and a half long, but it feels like 2.5 because so much happens.
So
that
much.
That could have easily
so
been
much.
Cut. No editor has gone over this movie.
No, absolutely not. They skip the editor in favor of all the signing bonuses for the new actors they are hiring every movie.
It's so bizarre. It's just objectively just very, they're very bad movies. There's nothing I can say that is like, well, she's really hot. Her and her big naturals are really hot. But apart from that,
but that isn't that. That's not. Yeah,
there's nothing going for this movie.
That doesn't mean great cinema, sadly. Yeah, no, they really don't have anything going for them. They're predictable, but at the same, like, repetitive. Like the fighting and fucking cycle that happens like every 10 minutes is just exhausting. The acting's bad. There's no reason for you to root for Harden and Tessa. They need to break up and both seek therapy immediately.
Especially like, Harden.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just.
But
awful.
Like a lot happens, but at the same time, nothing happens.
It's a film about nothing, but there's like a million plot points that are picked up and discarded. And
do you think Trevor's gonna come back?
I don't think so. I think Dylan Sprouse was like, you know what, this is not for me. Because I feel like Trevor would have been in it. Like, the whole time they're in Seattle and there's like montages of her working in the office and it's like, oh, we're not gonna see Trevor, the guy who moved there. Like, you know, maybe she's just like told Trevor that she can't be friends with him anymore because of her disgustingly possessive boyfriend. Anyway. Okay, so trip's over? No, she's quite on her feet in this film. Dead parent?
No, dad's is homeless, but...
Yeah,
who gets
exactly.
to have He's... the keys to the fucking flat that they're still, like, illegally living in from the teacher that was gone?
Yeah, when is this woman coming back?
Right?
Like, they really treat that house like it's theirs. Even, like, Harden's parents are coming and going from it, like, oh, I guess this is fine.
Sorry.
Hollywood dad?
No.
No. Neither of their dads are Hollywood dads. They're fucking terrible. Sexual assault?
No.
Not this time. Mean Girl Redemption?
No.
They've completely left behind their college friends.
Oh, yeah. Also characters.
No, no
like...
mention of them anymore. Yeah, those they're culled from the cult sheet. Blanket heteronormativity? We kept it blank on the other ones. Who is that? There must be a gay character. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the roommate. She was gay.
Oh, it was the roommate, yeah, but she wasn't in this movie, though, at all. We've gone back to straight problems. Dream bedroom. I mean, every fucking place. Yeah, every house.
Seattle house.
This movie is a dream.
Chef's kiss.
Oh,
that patio.
Makeovers. Yeah. That patio. Makeover scene?
I wish there was one. Tessa needs a fucking makeover.
Me too.
She does.
Someone needs to get her out of those skater dresses. Crazy Teen Rager? No, they've gone beyond that, which is kind of annoying. Sorry that we're doing, like, young adult movie.
Yeah, we fucked it.
Teen movie. annoying sibling.
Smith is apparently lovely.
Prom. Yeah, whatever. Who cares about that kid?
No.
Prom, you're throwing away your dream.
Let's give it one, because Harden does really bad in school but then does well again.
Okay, fair enough. And quirky male friend, that's
not. He's not that quirky, though. He's really bad as well.
He's not, he's really fucking boring, but he does fulfill, like, you know, just the point of having a male friend. I feel like he was more quirky in the other
this
movies.
Actor is
like,
quirky.
This. Yeah, this guy sucks. Bring back the old Landon. This one got 9, which is 2 less than the After and After We Collided.
I don't even care
with
this
movie
got, because
we
should have done it the first
place. Me neither. It's not... Well, Heather, something to celebrate. We have watched all 3 After films that are available to watch. So there are going to be more, but... we'll put that off to a time in the future that I don't want to think about right now. And we'll decide then if we're going to continue on this horrible journey that we've... It's a hardened no from you. Yeah, it's probably the same for me.
I've got kind of a challenge for you, though, that I want to end with. after Thanksgiving.
Oh, what?
I want you and me to write a short fanfic and put it on Wattpad.
About what? We could choose.
Yeah, I think maybe basing it on one of the characters that we've discussed in the years that we've done this podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like it. I really like that. So it's based on, like, yeah, based
fanfic
on...
fanfic based on whatever movie it
was. Teen movie yeah. fanfic. Okay, I love that.
So
oh my God,
then,
I can't wait.
We've written it. I think we should, like, tell our listeners and they can maybe check it out and we can... I just want to see how we do, because I think you and I, we could write our own teen movie by this point.
We've said this many, many times, and one day we will.
And this has really inspired me, I must say, if it has taught me one thing, that you can put out shit in the world and become really rich. So, I'm not going to be famous on TikTok and do a dance. I'm told that I'm 31 since yesterday. But
maybe you could get famous on Wattpad. There's no age limit on Wattpad.
People like it and movies are made of it, like 6 movies, you and I can do that better.
That's so true. Okay, maybe I will.
I don't know how you can... I haven't looked at Wattpad ever in my life, so I don't know how to measure. I should have thought this challenge through. But so I don't know how to see if you get kudos or I don't know what.
Oh, I think you just get likes.
Okay, maybe one of us should get the most likes and that person wins.
All right. Oh, okay, cool.
Down?
What does the winner get? Should we make this interesting?
What shall the winner get? I don't know. Okay, our listeners can like send us DMs and tell us what the winner should get.
Yeah. You let us know what the forfeit is for the loser or the prize for the winner.
Thank you again to our listeners. Thank you for coming through with all your tall girl DMs.
We have had so many people share the trailer for Tall Girl 2. It's actually insane. And also, when we posted about it, calling it Tall Girl 2, P.S. I'm still tall, so many of you asked us whether it was really called that. Our influence, our minds. Love everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.